The House will come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Pastor Howard Grenager from the First United Methodist Church here in Pierre. And leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance will be Paige Roxy Clout from Walker, South Dakota.
Let us pray. Holy God, the giver of life and all things good, we pause to acknowledge your sovereignty over all our lives and all that we do. We come to this time remembering that this day and our very lives are gifts that you offer to us out of your love. So in this moment of quiet, we pause to give you thanks for life and family and friends and all that blesses our life. Almighty Lord, we are in this place today because you have laid upon our lives a calling to serve the people of this state. We thank you for that privilege. Give to us ears that we might hear not only the voices of the mighty and the powerful, but also those who are weak or have no voice with which to speak. Help us to work for justice that will bless the lives of all those we represent. Give to us, Holy God, gifts of wisdom as we wrestle with challenging issues, and then grant us the courage to act. We pray this day for safe travel when it comes time to return to our homes, and watch over our families when we are apart. All this we ask in your holy name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Clerk will call the roll.
Abdallah, Adelstein, Bartling, Bagalka, Bradford, Bradrick, Jarvis Brown, Richard Brown, Berg, Clark, Davis, Derby, Dunwall, Denifin, Elliott, Flowers, Frost, Frisley, Garnis, Gillespie, Glensky, Tom Hansen, Gary Hansen, Hargens, Heineman, Don Hennies, Thomas Hennies, Holbeck, Hunstead, Hoffman, Hunhoff, Jaspers, Jensen, Junkie, Klochek, Koistinen, Canold, Koistra, Lang, Lintz, Madsen, McCauley, McCoy, Michaels, Monroe, Marshall, Noctegal, Napoli, Nesselhoff, Olson, Gordon, Peterson, Bill Peterson, Jim Peterson, Pitts, Pummel, Roden, Richter, Siebert, Sigdestad, Slaughter, Smith, Solem, Sutton, Tupel, Valandra, Van Etten, Van Gerpen, Van Norman, Wick, and Speaker Icarius. Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
At this time, I'd like to welcome the various groups in the gallery. I've been told that the South Dakota Community Family Extension leaders, on behalf of Representatives Roden and Pummel from Meade and Beadle counties, are here today. Abate of South Dakota, who furnished the breakfast this morning, would like to be welcomed by Representative Monroe, who is also a member. Representatives Bradford, Valandra, would like to welcome Shannon County Schools and the Batesland 8th grade class and their advisors. And finally, we have an honor for one of our members, Representative Kay Davis, along with Senator McCracken. They have been named the Advocates of the Year by the American Cancer Society. So on behalf of all those people, I'd like to congratulate them and thank them for coming, and we'd like to welcome you to the South Dakota Legislature. Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the third day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Scott Icarius, Chair.
Is there a second? Comments on approval of the journal? Hearing none, those in favor of approving the journal will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Journal's approved. Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports that House Bill 1012 do pass, House Bill 1014 do pass as amended, and House Bill 1015 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Jarvis Brown, Chair.
Reports of select committees.
Mr. Speaker, your Joint Select Committee appointed to make arrangements for a memorial service for deceased former members of the South Dakota House and Senate respectfully reports that they recommend that the House of Representatives and Senate recess and convene in the House chamber at 3 o'clock p.m. on Thursday, January 17, 2002, and that a joint memorial resolution be introduced in their memory by their colleagues in the House of Representatives and Senate. A short program will follow the introduction of the memorial resolution. At the conclusion of the memorial service, the Senate will retire to the Senate chamber and continue with its regular order of business. The memorial resolution shall be printed in the House and Senate journals. Respectfully submitted, Orville Smith, Clarence Koistra, Gerald Lang, House Committee, Cheryl Madden, Jim Putman, and John Reedy, Senate Committee.
Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to fixing compensation for the elective and appointed officers and members of the 77th Legislative Session. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to making arrangements for the distribution of the official directory, Senate and House journals, bills, and other legislative printing. Also, Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to the joint rules for the two houses for the 77th Legislative Session. Respectfully, Patricia Adams, Secretary.
First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1062, an act to increase certain penalties for eluding a law enforcement officer. House Bill 1063, an act to revise certain provisions and to increase certain penalties regarding the disturbance of a school. House Bill 1064, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the obstructing of a law enforcement officer, jailer, or firefighter. House Bill 1065, an act to expand the South Dakota Retirement System Board membership.
Speaker assigns House Bill 1062, Judiciary, 1063, Education, 1064, Judiciary, 1065, Retirement Laws, 1066, Local Government, 1067, Transportation, 1068, Education, 1069 and 70, Judiciary, and 1071 to State Affairs. Are there any announcements? Are there any announcements at this time? Hearing none, Speaker would entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? All those in favor of that motion will say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Would somebody please notify the Senate that Senator Johnson will be speaking shortly? If the members would please take their seats now. At this time, it's my pleasure to ask our legislature and the members of the gallery if they would please give a warm welcome to our U.S. Senator Tim Johnson at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Speaker, thank you for the kind introduction and the opportunity to address both the House and the Senate, the South Dakota State Legislature. Returning to this chamber and this Capitol building is always a special circumstance for me, having served both in the State House and the State Senate, having sat in Representative Nachtigall's desk for some years in this chamber. I fully appreciate both the challenges and the great sense of reward that you have for directing South Dakota's public policy and doing the excellent job that you do in your legislative session. And I wish you well on a constructive session this year, facing some significant challenges that I know that you do. I'm pleased to report that the sense of national unity, of cohesion, of commitment, and of bipartisanship is strong in Washington relative to our nation's war on terror and the rebuilding of our country. That sense of bipartisanship, it's my hope, will carry on over into other issues as well in this second session of the 107th Congress that's coming up. I'm very much aware of the fiscal restraints of the people of South Dakota and this state legislature, the need for us to find constructive ways to partner to address a wide range of needs that we have in the state of South Dakota, and I believe that that partnering will lead to constructive solutions. We have, obviously, high in the agenda in Washington this coming year, the conclusion of a new farm bill. It was reported in the media just today, released from the Department of Agriculture, that if nothing changes, if nothing happens, the projection is that farm income will plummet another 20% this coming year alone. That coming on the heels of an already too low baseline in terms of farm and rural income in South Dakota and across the country. I'm pleased that earlier on this past year, we brought a farm bill to the floor of the Senate. We had several days of debate on that farm bill. I'm pleased that we were able to include several very constructive provisions, including country of origin labeling for meat, including USDA grade reform, constructive conservation components, and rural development components. Unfortunately, we ran into a filibuster of that farm bill. And as you know, in the United States Senate, it requires 60 votes and not 51 to move legislation forward in the case of a filibuster. That legislation had to be pulled from the floor. But I'm pleased that Senator Daschle has indicated that the farm bill will be the number one priority that the U.S. Senate will take up again when we reconvene, and that this will be one of the first things that we'll take to the Senate's attention. It's my hope that the filibuster will either be overcome or withdrawn, and that we will, in fact, be able to proceed forward, hopefully in a bipartisan fashion, with constructive farm legislation dealing with the whole range of issues from insurance to rural development to conservation to nutrition to our commodity programs that is so important. I'm pleased that one of the components that was at my urging in this farm bill will be a bioenergy title to the farm bill, trying to create additional incentives for the development of ethanol and biodiesel, soybean-based biodiesel. But we'll make progress. I'm convinced that that progress will come soon. Obviously, we'll have to deal with the House version, which the administration opposes, and work with to achieve consensus in a conference committee earlier on this year. A second issue, which again had to be pulled off the Senate floor last year, was an economic stimulus package. We brought a stimulus bill to the floor of the Senate. Once again, there were over 50 votes in favor of that legislation, but not the 60 to prevent a filibuster from stopping the whole thing. Once again, that bill was pulled from the floor, and I am confident that that legislation will emerge once again earlier on in the coming second session of the 107th Congress, and we can again explore ways to work together to stimulate this economy in urban and rural America alike. I happen to think that one of the best stimulus strategies for rural America is a new farm bill. But we will work together for both stimulus legislation and farm legislation early on in this coming month, and I'm pleased that I'm confident going to see progress there. One of the unique circumstances that we find in the United States Senate that frankly has never occurred before in the state of South Dakota's history, despite a great many very distinguished people who have served in that chamber, both political parties, has been the opportunity to have one senator who is the majority leader of the United States Senate, an unprecedented circumstance for the state of South Dakota, and to have a second senator on the Senate Appropriations Committee. For too long, fiscal decisions have been made in Washington without regard to the state of South Dakota's priorities, without regard to the state of South Dakota's particular interests and unique challenges. I'm pleased now, under these new circumstances, beginning just this past year, that for the first time in many, many years, South Dakota's fiscal concerns are receiving the kind of consideration they deserve. In fact, over this past year, over 50-some projects for the state of South Dakota were enacted by the Congress that had not appeared in the House Appropriations Bill, had appeared nowhere else, and occurred primarily because, for the first time in so many years, South Dakota is getting a fair hearing on the priorities in our communities, large and small, across the state. As a result, we were able to do economic development projects in small towns like Harriet and Pollock. We're able to do technology centers in towns like Madison and Sioux Falls. We're able to do wastewater treatment projects in communities like Hill City. We're able to do other water projects. We're able to do rural health initiatives. were able to do 13 projects in the Ag Appropriations Bill that did not appear anywhere else, including research projects for SDSU, including new facilities for research at that institution, new medical school funding for the medical school at the University of South Dakota. We were able to make some significant progress in a long backlog of needs facing our state. I'm looking forward to additional progress in the coming year and working with our community leaders to use this newfound opportunities that we have to make sure that our state gets the consideration it deserves. I'm not interested in porking up the state of South Dakota. I am interested in making sure that for the first time in so many years, the kinds of needs we have where we can partner between the federal government, the state government, between the public and the private sector, between the federal government and our local communities, whether it be for industrial parks, whether it be for technology centers, help with our schools, help with our rural health programs, help for our tribes, that we can in fact make that happen and complement the excellent work that the state of South Dakota does through its state legislature. So I'm pleased that we have these ongoing opportunities to work together. We know that among the key challenges in the coming year are going to be the funding for our enormous Bureau of Reclamation water projects in South Dakota. We have three of the largest drinking water projects in the world under construction in our state. We can take great pride that South Dakota has become a model for other states around the nation in the success that we have had in the completion of the Webb system and the ongoing progress with Minnewachonee in the west, with Mid-Dakota in the central part of the state, and now the initial funding for the Lewis and Clark Rural Water Project in the southeast part of the state, serving 22 communities, including obviously Sioux Falls as the largest community of all. This is a remarkable development for our state. We have had a long backlog of infrastructure needs that needed to be met, but these projects are expensive. There's no question about it. While Minnewachonee goes on at about $30 million a year, Mid-Dakota is at around 15 and ought to be closer to 30. And Lewis and Clark, while only $2 million was needed this past year, will very soon need $30 million a year for themselves. We find ourselves now going from an era of budget surpluses, which we had for the last several years, into a new, hopefully short-term era of budget deficits. The White House is telling us that we will have federal budgets in the annual federal budgets in the red for the coming 3 years. I'm hopeful that the recession with the stimulus package, with the farm bill and other initiatives will come out of that relatively soon. But we do recognize that one of the challenges we face is that the wrestling match, the effort to secure funding for our BOR projects is going to be harder and harder and harder to achieve. All the more reason that it's going to be important to use the leverage that we have on the Appropriations Committee working with our local communities to make sure that in fact these projects go forward, that the duration of the construction process is not stretched out to make them more costly, that the people in our communities have access to clean, affordable, high-quality drinking water for their families, for their business, for their farms, for economic expansion as soon as possible. I think this is one of the most constructive partnerships that we have ever had between the federal government and the state of South Dakota. And I'm looking forward to, even though we are going to be embarking on a difficult era, to making sure that that funding goes forward. The state of South Dakota with its state legislature has contributed generously towards the completion of these drinking water projects. It has been a state-local partnership with the federal government that has been constructive and positive and is an example of the kinds of things that we can do in a bipartisan fashion when we bring the vision of local communities together with the hard work of the state legislature and the federal government together. So let me say, congratulations to the state legislature for the work that it has done over these years to make the water agenda and the other agendas of this state a reality. And I look forward to working with you, with Governor Janklow, to make sure that the 2002 legislative year is a year of more than politics. It is a year of constructive public policy. It is a year where we accomplish the real needs that the people of South Dakota want met and that they deserve to have met. So thank you so much for inviting me to join you for a few minutes this morning, and best wishes on a very, very successful session of the state legislature. Thank you.